It's that time, our favorite time each month, when Sean Lash from Amera Astronomy Center stops by to visit with us. Welcome back, Sean.
Great to be back.
Yeah, you've been doing some traveling. You've been a road warrior, seeing the sights of Hawaii and Ohio. One of those sounds great in the winter.
Yeah, I did get to run out to Hawaii for my sister's wedding. I was only there for 3 days, so it was kind of a harrowing trip to go and come back. Ooh. And then onward to Columbus, Ohio for some meetings. But it was good. I did get to catch up with some of my observatory friends while I was out there from Mauna Kea and hear about some of the latest goings on out there as well. So that was nice.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad to have you back, and a lot of things going on at Amera this month and into next month as well. Let's start with the Friday programs, and coming up this week, Faster Than Light. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Faster Than Light is sort of a fun program. It takes a look at the possibility of humans traveling at extreme speeds. And so, of course, we think of, you know, some of the spacecraft that we have built as being fast, like, for instance, the Apollo spacecraft that carried men to the moon, and also things like the Voyager spacecraft and New Horizons, which really moved at extremely fast speeds, much faster than going to the moon using gravity assist, of course. But if we want to go to places outside of our solar system, we're going to need to travel at much higher rates of speed. And so the program takes a look at some possible technologies, so a little bit of a blend of science and science fiction. But based on the science side, looking at how scientists and engineers are looking at possibilities for developing tools that could move us at, speeds significantly closer to the speed of light and things like that. So that's what we cover in Faster Than Light. We also have a little introduction that talks a little bit about general relativity and Uncle Einstein, of course, Uncle Albert, as we like to call him in the physics world, talking about special and general relativity and how they impact moving at those fast speeds as well. And on the 22nd, the final showing of the month, we're actually going to have Dr. Neil Cummins, who's written two books about space travel, talking a little bit about the hazards and opportunities of space travel that sort of tie into the subject. So he's going to do a special short presentation after the show on the 22nd, then be signing two of his books on that topic as well.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, when you say fast, for instance, New Horizons, how fast are we talking?
Yeah, so New Horizons and Voyager are both moving extremely fast. To give you an idea, the Voyager spacecraft right now is roughly 145 times the distance between Earth and the Sun. Now, it was launched back in 1977. It's been traveling outward. So we're still talking about speeds that are minuscule in terms of near the speed of light. So you're talking at thousands of kilometers per second instead of, for instance, the speed of light, which is about 300,000 kilometers per second. So you're probably around, you know, 10 to anywhere from 10 to 30,000, you know, kilometers per second in some cases, and in some cases more.
That's a good clip.
It is a good clip.
Like, you don't put your head out the window.
Right. It is a good clip on the one hand, but on the other hand, given the distances are so large, right, it's, you know, the speeds that you're going to need to go are, you know, to travel outside of our solar system, are going to be, you know, much faster. To give you an idea, at the year 2050, Voyager 1 will reach one light day from our planet. And so the speed of light, you know, again, is so fast, to our knowledge, nothing can travel faster than that speed. At that speed is the speed that radio signals travel in the vacuum of space. So when we got, you know, images back from New Horizons, it took a little over 4 hours from those, you know, transmissions to make it back to Earth, traveling again at the speed of light. So, exceptional speed. And even the nearest stars at that speed are years away. So Alpha Centauri, about 4.2 light years away, things like that.
So you're saying warp speed is not a real thing then?
Well, not at least as we know it today. However, it is based on some real principles, the possibility that you could warp space and time. And that's part of what Einstein talks about, is that, you know, space-time is basically, you know, a connected material, and that it does bend based on gravity. So that's one of the things, warp speed. There are some scientific principles behind it. Now, the technology to actually make it happen, that's still, of course, science fiction.
It's so much fun to talk about. This looks great, too. Tell me a little bit about David Bowie Dreams.
Yeah, so we've kicked off some music programming at the planetarium, and we started off with David Bowie Dreams. This is a program that sort of interprets the music of David Bowie in-house. It's a collaboration with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. They're doing their Pops concert on March 9th called Space Oddity, the Ultimate David Bowie Experience. And so we partnered with them. We're doing a show on Friday nights at 9 o'clock and that has a variety of David Bowie music, and we use a variety of planetarium visuals. So back in the old days, planetariums used to use lasers to do this. Now we're using full-dome visualization. We have some special software packages that help do things, and we add imagery in and do a lot of fun things with it as well. So that's something we've kicked off. We only have two showings left of that. We have one, of course, this Friday and then on the 22nd as well. And we'll be following that up with Imagine Dragons in March. So if you're, you know, if you prefer one genre of music over another, those are some opportunities as well. And we're going to sort of have a mix of classic and modern rock and some different things going forward in the, in that series.
And, of course, you got your Sunday program going strong this month, Earth, Moon, and Sun.
Yeah, we actually sold out this past Sunday. Some weeks it's like that. Last month we sold out every Friday show, which is great. Earth, Moon, Sun takes a look at lunar phases, what causes day and night, a little bit about the relationship between those three objects, the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun, and how that relationship is special, how it creates tides, and some of the stories behind it as well from a variety of cultures. So it's definitely a fun program for the whole family and geared for, again, children, families with children. In particular.
Speaking of that, Sean Latch with us from Amera Astronomy Center. My wife and I were just texting back and forth about what we plan on doing next week to keep our little guy occupied, and you guys can help. You've got great programs coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of school vacation week.
Yeah, and we've tried to vary the programs. We have shows basically Tuesday through Friday of that week at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and we're sort of varying things. We have Polaris and the Mystery of the Polar Night. Then we are doing another showing of Expedition Reef because it was so popular in January, and Cosmic Colors. So again, these programs are going to be doing a different one each day at 2 o'clock, and gives you a chance to check out some of the different offerings that we have, both students, student programs for younger children, but also ones that are geared for, you know, some of the older children as well.
I was just communicating before I came in with Kate Dickerson from the Maine Science Festival, and you'll be putting together a couple of great presentations as part of that on Sunday, March 17th.
Yeah, we will be doing, we'll be taking part in that and doing some hands-on activities. And we also will have some special programming around that as well. Their keynote speaker, of course, Science Versus, is going to be talking about UFOs. So we have a program called Out There, the Search for Extrasolar Planets. Ooh. That we're going to be doing that Sunday afternoon, and that will be a lot of fun as well. So lots of different things coming up at the planetarium, and we have our science lecture series, which is a partnership with them too. And the 21st of the month, we have Dr. Lauren Ross from Civil and Environmental Engineering talking about wave turbines and wave energy and how that might be a source of green energy here in Maine.
And what have we got going for celestial events in the weeks ahead?
So right now there is a comet visible in the night sky, and it is called Iwamoto. It will be passing basically actually on the 12th. So tomorrow night it will reach its closest approach to the Earth. It passed perihelion, its closest approach to the Sun, back on the 6th. And right now it is very near Leo the Lion. In fact, it's going to be sort of in that area of Leo the Lion tonight. So if you go outside around 8 o'clock, straight ahead of you in the south is going to be Orion. And if you sort of stretch out, face the Orion and stretch out your left arm, you'll be pointing towards where Leo will be, a sort of a backwards question mark shape in the sky. But this comet, you will need binoculars to see. It's about 7th magnitude, so just a little bit below our naked eye. But it does have a little bit of a tail to it. So it is worth taking a peek. If you do have a pair of, you know, 7x50 or 10x50 binoculars, get out there and poke around the area of Leo and try and catch it.
And this might be your best bet tonight because...
Yeah, the weather forecast, again, tonight and tomorrow, really tomorrow night's supposed to be the best night, but I'm guessing tomorrow night with the incoming weather, it might be good to do it tonight when it's still clear and things like that. But it will be visible for a few days after that as well, but do try and catch that if you have a chance. And if you're a morning riser right now, basically you have all the planets but Mars in the morning sky. So Venus, Jupiter, really extremely bright, than, you know, and Saturn and Mercury, as well in our morning sky. And right now, Mars, the only evening planet that you have to catch somewhat early in the evening. Tonight, it's going to be a bit too, basically to the west of the moon. So roughly a handspan away from the moon tonight.
There you go. Good stuff as always. Sean Lash, Amara Astronomy Center. Sean, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you again in just a few weeks to kick off the month of March.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.